This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
Weekend. 2:11.
Quiet, please. Our service is about to begin.
God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God. Let us pray. God of wilderness and water, your Son was baptized and tempted as we are. Guide us through this season that we may not avoid struggle, but open ourselves to blessing through the cleansing depths of repentance and the heaven-rendering words of the Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, and the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. Repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, who renew our lives. Glory of your name. Amen. To the cross of Christ, God, have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Amen. Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, graciously grant this church, this humble church, peace and unity if it is your will. Amen. Peace, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And you?
Peace be with you.
Y'all can say it to each other too, you know. All right, be seated, please. I'm sorry, remain standing. Let us profess our creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven, the universe, and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God of God, light of light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one with the Father, by whom all things were made. He came down from heaven for our salvation. He was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered greatly, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he was again with the scriptures at the right hand of the Father, whose kingdom shall have no end. He shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. We believe that on the journey following the path he laid for us will lead us to his eternal embrace. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken and speaks through the prophets. We believe in the Christian of Christian apostolic churches, who together rightly praise and glorify him. We've been one battle of Christian baptism of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world and universe to come. Amen. Be seated, please. Who has the first reading today? Okay, William.
All right.
Just over here.
Can I wear it?
No. A little splash of green, you know.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. A reading from the book. Oh, wait. Reading from the prophet Jeremiah, right?
Very good.
All right. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Who has a second reading today? Good.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you, as he says also in another place. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard from because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Okay, we're just a little different here for this part because I put the wrong gospel acclamation in the PowerPoint. And I just realized that. Because we're going to do the Alleluia during Lent. So, what we're going to do is... we're just going to say, I'm not going to make us all sing this, but we're just going to say this part. So just follow me. I'll read the first part, we'll read the green. I'll read the second part, and then we'll read the green again, okay? It's okay. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Whoever serves me must follow me, says the Lord. As where I am, there will also be my, there also will my servants be. Grace to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Okay. Do a little prayer here. Moving right along here. If you'd all rise, please. High quarters. It's all good. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida and in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servants be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world, of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord, the word, the light. Okay, be seated, please. Let me pass these real quick.
Please rise.
No, we already did that. Okay. I say good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Okay. And there's a lot of you aren't wearing green, so you'll all be pinched after church today, just to let you know.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
That should have been your sign of peace.
All right. In our gospel lesson for this afternoon, Jesus unveils the pattern of life as we all experience as human beings on this earth. It is the pattern of life for all living things. Jesus says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. There it is. The pattern of life is the pattern of loss and renewal that runs throughout our lives and our world. And even if you've never thought, now, this is a pattern of life. You've lived and experienced it, sometimes by choice and other times by chance. Either way, it's there. Think of the way this pattern has happened in your life. Have you ever fallen in love and committed your life to one another? If so, you had to let parts of your old life go and something of your single life died so that you could be with that other person. How about this? How about parenting? If you're a parent, you know that there are sacrifices of yourself and your life to be made in order for the new life of your child to take root and grow. Parents give up parts of themselves for the other. Parents are continually letting go of their child so that she or he can grow up. Have you ever been a caretaker for someone? If so, you could name the parts of your life that died so that another person might live with dignity, compassion, and love. What are the costs, the losses you paid for an education or a career? You chose certain losses and let go of some things so that other things could arise. For every choice we make, every yes we say, there is at least one no, and probably many. We see the same pattern in nature. We can see it is the changing of the seasons. falling leaves and new blooms and the rising and setting of the sun. And think of the scriptural stories of loss and renewal. Abram left his country and his people so that he might be made a great nation, renamed Abraham, and to be a blessing to all families of the earth. Jacob lost his identity and was wounded so that he could become a new man, Israel, with a new life. James and John left their fathers, their boats, their nets to become disciples of Jesus and fishers of people. Jesus taught his disciples that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. This pattern of loss and renewal is everywhere, dying and rising, letting go and getting back, leaving and returning. It's at the core of our baptism, and it's what we declare before we take Holy Communion. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We say that every week if we have communion in some various form. Now, what in your life do you need to let go of today? What might you need to leave behind? What needs to die so that something new can arise? I don't think it's a coincidence that John chapter 12, verse 20 through 33 is set in the context of the Passover feast. Now remember, what's that about, the Passover feast? The Passover is the celebration of the Israelites' liberation from bondage in Egypt. It's about freedom and new life. It's about letting go, leaving behind, and moving into the new. There's something about this pattern that is the lens through which we see Jesus. In our gospel lesson, some Greeks come up to Philip and say, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." I don't know why they wanted to see Jesus, but I have a few guesses. Jesus turned water into wine. He cleansed the temple. He healed the son of the royal official. He healed the paralytic. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He walked on water. He gave sight to the man born blind. He raised Lazarus from the dead. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." "Me too. That's the Jesus I want to see. Don't you?" Philip tells Andrew about the Greeks and their request. And both Philip and Andrew tell Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." That's his response to those who want to see him, to the Greeks, to you, and to me. Dying is more than our physical death. It's about that, but it's about so much more than that. We die 1,000 deaths through our lifetime. The loss of a loved one, a relationship, health, opportunities, a dread, all deaths we don't ask for. Other times we choose our losses and deaths. We give up part of ourselves for someone else. We change our beliefs and values so that we can be more authentically ourselves. And sometimes there are things we need to let go of, things we cling to that deny us of the fullness of life we want, and God offers fear, anger, or resentment, regret, and disappointment, guilt, the need to rewrite, approval. Seeing Jesus isn't a spectator sport. It's a way to be followed, truth to be embodied, a life to be lived. Say that all fast, 10 times. It's being a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that it might produce many seeds. That's where we see Jesus. It's the letting go, the emptying, the leaving behind, and the dying that makes space for new life to arise. Have you ever heard at least one time in your life that when you look back on it, you say, "I never want to go through that again"? But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Well, what time was that? What happened? As difficult or painful as that experience was, it produced many more seeds, or as other versions of the Bible put it, it produced much fruit. You were changed and your life was renewed. It was one of those times when you were the kernel of wheat that fell to the ground and died. And I'll bet it was one of those times when you knew you had seen Jesus, when you experienced the Holy Spirit, when you were convinced that God was present and working in your life. years ago when I was just starting my career in ministry. I was a youth minister, and I had especially taken under my wing a young girl in our group. I was recently speaking to another pastor friend of mine who knew her, and we were both admiring how she had been so successful in life and how amazing it was that she was such a straight-edge kid with such good grades when she was in the youth group. Her parents were alcoholics and drug addicts, and so she had so much staked against her already. It's unusual for children to grow up in such an environment and be so stable and successful. My pastor friend began telling me about a time when she had been helping this child, Jennifer, with a homework assignment. Now, the assignment was, what do you picture as the perfect happy life? My friend was worried that she would have trouble with this paper since her life seemed so miserable, and Jennifer was indeed having a tough time coming up with an idea. So the youth director, my friend, the pastor, kept trying to suggest these things. What about a life where you go become a perfect place? How about a life where your parents have enough money to send you off to an Ivy League college and pay all the costs? No, that didn't work either. It went on and on and on, and Jennifer said no to all of my pastor friend's ideas. Finally, it was time for Jennifer to go home, and my pastor friend felt so bad for Jennifer. She couldn't seem to even dream of a perfect happy life. Then, the next day, Jennifer presented my pastor friend with this idea. She said, I know why I'm having such a hard time coming up with a perfect happy life. It's because I'm happy even though my parents are alcoholics and drug addicts. And that is because if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have such a close relationship with Jesus. Now, tears of joy welled up in my pastor friend's eyes as she told me the story. Jesus is with us all the time. Sometimes it is when we have nothing to cling to but him that we've come to know him the best. Jennifer's kernel of wheat had fallen to the ground and died, but it wasn't something she chose. And through her faith and in an experience of Christ, it produced many seeds or much fruit. She's now happily married, has a young child, whom my pastor friend is the unofficial grandmother of, and has a master's degree in social work. She works with children who are born into alcoholic and abusive families. Jesus gives us new life where there is death if we are open to it. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So what is the kernel of wheat in your life today that needs to fall to the ground and die? What are the things that if you lost them, you are sure you would just die? Maybe those are the very places waiting to bear much fruit in your life. Maybe that is where you'll see Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as Jesus in the days before his passion offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, let us pray for those who suffer, those who are in need, and those who seek reconciliation. For the church, that God's covenant, which is written upon our hearts, may help us know the Lord more deeply and guide us in serving God each day. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the grace to be women and men for others, that God will guide us in laying down our lives in loving service and sharing our gifts to help others along life's journey. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For a spirit of repentance, that God will free us from our false attachments and sinful actions, move our hearts to celebrate the sacrament of penance, and open us to the power of forgiveness. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are recovering from storms and natural disasters, that God will protect them from further danger, give them strength, and speed the assistance with which they need. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who suffer each day, that God will give strength to those with chronic illnesses, hope and courage to those who have been abused, and open new resources for those who live on the streets. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all searching for employment, that God will help them to recognize all the gifts that they possess, open new opportunities to use them, and give them confidence in presenting themselves to employers. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. for all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit, restore them so they can be a blessing to others, and share fully in the life of the community. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died, we especially remember the soul of Patsy McCool Parton on this St. Patrick's Day, that their souls be at peace in his eternal embrace, and that those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We bring to you all of our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. Pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. God of compassion, you know our faults, and yet you promise to forgive. Keep us in your presence and give us your wisdom. Open our hearts to gladness. Call dry bones to dance and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Amen. We give thanks for all we have received, O God, gifts of love and time, money and abilities, into these bowls and into this place. We return a portion of these gifts. Bless those who receive them just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen. Who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, will become our spiritual drink. With humble spirit and contrite heart, may we be accepted by you, O Lord, and may our sacrifice in your sight this day be pleasing to you, Lord God. Write upon our hearts, soften them with your compassion. As you soften them, open us to the needs of those close to us, as well as those in every corner of your world. As you open us to the hurts and heartache of your children, give us the grace to be as generous with our gifts as you are in blessing us. Take these gifts and use them to share peace, love, grace, and joy with all of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All rise, please. May the Lord of Lent be with you.
May the Lord of Lent be with you.
People of God, lift up your hearts. We lift our hearts to the one who writes a new covenant upon them. Give thanks to the God who makes you new. We open our lips to sing praises to the one who sustains us with a generous spirit. Our hearts are filled with joy as we lift our glad songs to you, covenant maker. You created us in your image, planting seeds of your love deep within us, but they could not bear fruit, for we prefer death's darkness to the light of your grace, and the barren dust of the world to deep riches of your peace. Despite our sin and arrogance, you remained steadfast in your love, calling to us through the prophets to return to your side. When we loved our way more than your heart's desire for us, you sent Jesus to restore us to your joy. And so we open our lips to join our songs of praise with the faithful of every time and place, singing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy are you, writer of our hearts. All creation is drawn to your side. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes with mercy for us. Hosanna in the highest. Be seated, please. You alone are holy, Master of the universe, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Baptized as your beloved, he became one of us, sharing our life in every way. When the hour had come for him to be glorified, he went to the cross to be broken. He who called life into being and creation suffered death for us, planted like a seed in the cold, friendless tomb so you could save him. You raised him from the grave so we could follow him into the life everlasting with you. As we come to this table, remembering all that he has done for us, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ died, the one lifted up for all people. Christ was raised, the one called forth to death for all. Christ will come, the one who is in the source of all eternal life for all. You provide the gifts of the bread and cup for us so that we might taste your grace and hope. As we come to the feast you have prepared for us, plant the seed of your spirit deep within our hidden hearts so we may serve without expecting recognition, so our generous spirit might ease the poverty of the world, so the good news we have heard may be proclaimed to all we meet. For on the night that he was betrayed, he himself took the bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, giving you thanks, he said the blessing. He gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." And when you gather your great congregation around the Lamb's table, we will join our voices in proclaiming, "You have done it, God and community, holy in one." Amen. Amen. As always, we celebrate communion in the way of Jesus Christ. All are welcome to share in the celebration. No one is excluded. We humbly thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this gift that we share today and pray it strengthens our bonds as Christians and as men and women for others. Amen. The meaning of these symbols of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bring eternal life to us to receive it. May the receiving of these symbols of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, not bring you judgment and condemnation, but through your loving mercy, be for me protection in mind and body and healing remedy. The bread of life, keep me safe for eternal life. The cup of life, keep me safe for eternal life.
can ever be seen. What you do can ever be done. There's far too much to take.
What's the red light?
Can never be
red light.
High, the sapphire sky keeps growing small on the end.
Red light.
Our lips as food, O Lord, we possess in purity of heart. It would have been given to us in time to be our lip healing for eternity.
And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Ring standing, if you would, please. Let us pray. God of Sarah and Abraham, long ago you embraced your people in covenant and promised them your blessing. Strengthen us in faith that with your disciples of every age, we may proclaim your deliverance in Jesus Christ to generations yet unborn. Amen. Okay, be seated, please.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announce.
Okay, we have a lot to get through today, so I'm going to try and get through this quickly. Compliments, concerns, or just complaints. You got one of those? You need one of these things. It's going to be an email address coming up at you. That's it. Feedback at DallasULC.com or DallasULC.com and click on Contact Us. We value every one of those things there. We want to hear from you, folks. So if you have one of those, email us. We'd like to hear from you. You know, you can make a difference. We are a church of all volunteers. Nobody here takes a salary, not even myself. And the only way we make it is through the tithes of our community here and through people out in the world who donate to our cause. It's the only way we can keep our doors open. And if you find that what you're hearing here today, this message of an all-loving, all-inclusive, all-forgiving God, this message of a Savior who died for us so that we may live forever. If you believe in this person, this world that can be filled with love instead of hate, then please consider making a donation to Dallas Ridge Life Church. We're trying to get that message of Christianity back out there, the real message of Christianity, what that really means, the definition of Christianity, not the one that's been twisted and turned and changed to what it is today. The real definition, the true definition of Christianity, and that is love. Please consider making a donation to Dallas Ridge Life Church. We could really use your help. Simply go to DallasULC.com and click on Donate. There you'll find a secure page where you can make a donation. All of your donations to Dallas Ridge Life Church are tax deductible. We are a 501c3 corporation, and we could really use your help. And it's tax season, so it helps you too. See how that works? All right. Now, I always give Bishop Archbishop Mark, whatever you want to call me, I love the church. I do. I really love coming here, and I want to be part of it, and I want to help you out, but I don't have any money. I'm broke. When I looked at the person, guess what? I'm broke too. So you just do what we all do. This is a volunteer church. Like I said, you volunteer your time. Simply go to DallasULC.com, click on the button for volunteer. There you'll find a list of the positions we have available for you for volunteers. If you don't see something you like there, please come back in anyway. We got plenty of stuff for you to do. I promise I have something. We go every day that we have church or that we have a service here or that we don't have service here. There's always something not getting done because there's not enough hours in the day. We could use your help. So please go to DallasULC.com, click on volunteer. Sign up there online or just come in and see me or call me at the church. One of those ways. Come in. I've got some work for you. Promise. I do. Pray at DallasULC.com. That's an email address. If you have a question, this is where you can put your request for prayer, folks. Lent season is a time when a lot of people are requesting prayers and they kind of get, as you look into yourself and become a little more introspective, you realize that there are things you need to pray for. And so this is a time that's very big for that. We get a lot of prayers requested this time of year. So if you have one, any time of the year, you can go to pray@dallasulc.com or go to dallasulc.com and click on prayer requests and give us your prayer there. You can remain anonymous. You can give us your name. You can ask for your prayer, as you said, during our daily prayers here at the church or during our service every Sunday during the prayers and intercession. Okay. All right. Moving along. Okay, folks. It's coming. We're a week away from Holy Week. Okay. Please don't take this the wrong way. People in my job field, we call that Hell Week. And there's a reason for that. You see all those things there? Those are all the services we're doing, okay? Let me just point this out to you folks. This is a very, very, very busy week coming up next week. Okay. If you are a volunteer here, which you all are because this is a volunteer church, I need your help. Okay. This is a tough week for me. It's very difficult. I need y'all's help 100% to get this done. Okay. First of all, coming up next Sunday, March 24th, is Palm Passion Sunday. Now, remember on that day, it's at 3 o'clock, same time as we normally do on Sunday. Service will begin on the patio. Okay. Do not come into the church. Service will begin on the patio. There'll be a table out there with the palms and whatnot. And we'll do the blessing of the palms out there. And then we'll come in and do the Passion of Christ here inside the church. Okay. That's the beginning of Holy Week. Okay. Then on Wednesday, March 27th, of course, we will have Your Path Live with Bishop Mark at 5:30 p.m. You're all welcome to come and watch the live performance of that, the live show of that. I'm sure we'll be talking about Holy Week and things like that. I know it's just one of the things we're doing here during Holy Week. Your Path with Bishop Mark, Your Path Live with Bishop Mark at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday, March 28th, we have 2 services that day. This is a tough day, folks. I need your help that day. Okay. The first service is at 11 a.m. It's the Chrism Mass. If you don't know what Chrism is, that is the oils that are up here, this can case up here. Those are the oils we bless for the blessing of people, the blessing of things. That's the oils we use in the peeling, of, in the anointing of the sick. That's the things we use in those kind of sacraments, okay? Even First Communions, a lot of the sacraments use it. I'm kind of drawing a blank here, but it's very important that we have this chrism, and every year we bless the chrism, and that's a very, it's very high mass. It's very, very pomp and circumstance. So if you like that kind of thing, come on in. It's an experience. If you've ever done it, come by and check it out. It's kind of interesting. Now, then, that afternoon, that evening, Thursday, March 28th, we will have Maundy Thursday, which is Holy Thursday or the Last Supper. So we're celebrating that day, Maundy Thursday. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. Okay. Then on Friday, the next day, Friday, March 29th, is Good Friday, my favorite church day of the year. Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. is a beautiful service. If you've never seen one of my Good Friday services, I suggest you come. It's an experience. It's just it's not like any other. It's very moving. It's very emotional, and it's important. It's the foundation of our faith right here. Okay. Then, the one we're waiting for, Sunday, March 31st. And that seems so strange to me. March 31st is going to be Easter Sunday. We're not even in April yet. March 31st will be Easter Sunday this year. Okay. If you don't know, the way that Easter works is it's done on a lunar calendar. So that's not, doesn't match up with our 12-month calendar. So every year it's a little bit different. Okay. So this year it's very, very early. March 31st will be Easter. Of course, that'll be at 5:30 p.m. No, we're not having 3 p.m. service on that Sunday, folks. 5:30 p.m. is when service starts. So why do I do that? Well, it's Easter. And a lot of people still do have families that they want to have time with and do their thing with. And I know that when my family was all together here and we had the big family gatherings, it was always at 2 o'clock, right? We always had, and if you go to your meet at 2 o'clock with your family, you're not going to make it here by 3, trust me. So I just want to have everybody have that opportunity to do that. And plus, if you have your family, you're going to see them at 2 o'clock or whenever, that morning, whatever, then you have to offer them to come to church with you here at 5:30. See, yes, it's kind of two-headed, double-sided sword there. Now, what you need to know is also, after the service on Sunday, Easter service, after the service, we'll have the annual Bishop's Glow-in-the-Dark Easter Egg Hunt. Folks, this is pretty fun. You get there's prizes, there's money, all kinds of good stuff in there. I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it. Now listen, if you don't come to service, you cannot participate in the Easter Egg Hunt after service. You need to be here for service to participate in the Easter Egg Hunt after service. I can't believe I had to make those rules like that. First year I did it, I did the Easter Egg Hunt before service. And the big winners all disappeared before service started. I was like, where is everybody? So I had to make a little change on that. All right. I'm looking forward to Easter, guys. It's a busy week, as you can see. It's a lot going on, and it wears me out. Usually, the next Sunday after Easter, most pastors or bishops or head pastors take that Sunday off. It's their day of vacation because of this week. I unfortunately don't have that liberty because I'm the only one here. But I do need y'all's help that week, please. It's very important. It's starting next week, you know, with Passion Palm Sunday. The more you can help, it would be the better for all of us. I mean, it just helps us get through everything, okay? All right. That's a lot. Okay. Sorry about the lengthiness there, but you need to know what's going on. Okay. All of our services here at Dallas ULC are broadcast live as they happen. Just so you know, folks, everything that you say here is heard around the world and in the universe. It's all broadcast out there for everybody to see and hear. Just a reminder of that's going on here at all times. And it's recorded also so people can watch it again later, too. Just remember that. All right.
Are you looking for open and honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more? Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares? We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:30 Central.
Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Every Wednesday we have Your Path Live with Bishop Mark. Call-in prayer show, call-in talk show, whatever you want to call it. We had a very, very good discussion last Wednesday. Presentation, I guess more it was, because we didn't have any callers, but on homosexuality in the Bible. If you've not seen it, I suggest that you go and watch it on our YouTube channel. I think it came out very well, and it explained a lot to a lot of people, I hope. So I hope you all check that out. Every 5:30 at Wednesdays, right here at the church. If you want to come and watch the live broadcast of it, you can come and sit in the sanctuary and watch as we do the live broadcast. You're welcome to do that. Okay? All right. Now, just to reiterate here, we have on Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. Central Time is the Your Path Live with Bishop Mark. And you can also watch that later on. We record it, put it on there. Now, we also, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are on Channel 8 on the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. DULC 24/7, right there on Channel 8. Anytime you want to see it, there it is. Go to Channel 8 on the Pastor Sean Condren Television Network. And that's PCOTVnetwork.org and just Channel 8, okay? All right. And another way to get in touch with us, another way to watch us, is through Roku. We do have our own Roku channel now. The Roku app is the PSCO TV network app. So you're simply going to go to, you can do it this way it says up here. Okay. Add the channel with a code, description PSCO TV network. Access code is C6PQPGT. That way you can, our channel is channel 105 on that app. So anybody that has Roku, you can dial us in right there. Just go and just download the PSCO TV network app on there, and we're channel 105. It's pretty simple, folks. And I love that. I think it's great. The more we can get out there, the more ways we can get out there, the better. And I think we're really doing a great job. Special thanks to the Pastor Sean Condren and his TV network and radio network for helping us. We're also on the radio. We are on, I can't remember the exact call letters, but it's an AM radio station that they have up in the Northeast, up near where Pastor Sean Condren's ministry is. So we're on live there whenever we have a broadcast here, which I'm very excited about. I think it's wonderful. Plus, it's also live worldwide on the web through the radio as well. So you can listen to it on the radio worldwide, just like you can any other radio station. Pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Yes, we do love you, Debbie. All right. Debbie works with Pastor John Condren, and she's been a wonderful supporter of us. Every week she listens, and we're so happy to have her. She's always giving us accolades, and she always says hello to you guys. I don't always get to tell you all because you've left or it's too late, but she always says hello, and I'm sure she's saying waving hi right now. I'm sure she is. All right. Hi, Debbie. Okay. I'm running out of breath up here. Now, if you miss any of our broadcasts, you can catch the recordings. Of course, you can catch the recordings on our YouTube channel. And that's www.youtube.com/@DallasULC. Okay? www.youtube.com/@DallasULC. That's our YouTube channel. That goes all the way back almost to the very beginning of our church here. We've been here almost 8 years now. We're coming up on our 8-year anniversary. And so 8 years of services, activities, things we've done, movies, all of it, right there, 8 years of it, back when I had darker hair and less wrinkles.
And more hair.
Hey. All right, guess what? Y'all made it through the announcements. I was gearing up for next week. I'm telling you, it's like running a marathon. You got to work for it. I hope y'all are ready. All right, let's rise for a dismissal. Okay, so what did you like? What did you not like? What do you want to keep? What do you want to get rid of? Welcome to the Bishop's Roundtable. This is your time to shine, folks. We're here to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Let me have that. Thank you. Okay, there we go. So today we talked about what? What did we talk about today?
Sometimes you have to give up something or die. A party has to die. A version of you has to die for a new growth, for better
okay.
things, for yeah. a new life.
There's a lot of ways to look at that, isn't there? I mean, look. I mean, look at the universe in and of itself. I mean, even on the large scale in the universe, when a supernova happens with the planets or the sun, right? A star supernova happens. That dying of that star creates life. It creates new planets, creates new stars, creates new things out there in the universe to go on. You know, a lot of people use this type of teaching as a proof of reincarnation.
Right.
A lot of people who believe in reincarnation believe that this just shows that that's what it's just the universe. It's natural. That's what happens. Things that we use in the soil to fertilize new growth are things that are dead. You know, things like that. It's part of life. The old builds the new.
Well, it could also be like maybe karma rewarding you for taking the risk.
Well, I don't believe in karma. I don't believe in karma.
I didn't.
You can call it whatever you want to call it.
I'm sorry.
I call it.
Well, I also had the thought, honest to God. I also had the thought that what if it's God rewarding you for taking that risk and for taking the leap of faith?
Okay. That's one way to look at it, I guess. It's interesting. I've never thought of it that way. Okay.
In a way of like, you know, you're doing the right things that you're supposed to be doing, and like, you know, you're like following God and following in Jesus's footsteps, right, per se. And so then it's coming back around.
We know that's going to happen, right? Right. I talk about all the time, you know, our motto here is being men and women for others, right? And when I started living that life of being a man for others, it changed everything for me, because in that same way, when I gave of my time and my abilities, my talent, my money to others, unselfishly, I longed for nothing. If I needed something, it was there. I didn't know sometimes how it was going to get there, or how I was going to get it. I'm nervous as all heck, but it happened because of it comes back to you. You know, when you give, it's going to come back. They call that pay it forward, that pay it forward thing. You pay it forward because you've been given something. It's time for you to give that also back to somebody else. That's what this is about. That's what life is about. That's what the world is about.
I think that's what he's referring to as like the karma.
Karma, yeah. Karma is one word that people use for it. I call it nature. You know, it's just natural. It's just, the universe will always be balanced, right? We talk about that, the balancing of the universe. And we talk about that. You know, if something bad happens to you and somebody has done something bad to you, revenge is not the way to go, because that just makes something else bad. So it just makes it worse, right? Because you do more bad. The universe will equal itself out. The punishment will be given to the people who do wrong. God takes care of that.
Because whatever good is trying to be done, whatever good deed you're trying to do needs to be done. And so if you don't have what you need in life, it might not get done.
Correct.
And so
I agree. It's important. I mean, this is an important part of your life. I mean, you talked about we die 1,000 lives in our lifetime. And I think that's an interesting way to look at that. We have 1,000 lives in our lifetime. And we do. We give up a lot of things for the things we want or need or require, about relationships. And, you know, when Will and I got together, we both gave up certain parts of our lives, certain things that we did in our lives, certain people in our lives, certain activities in our lives, so that we could be together.
Right.
It's part of life, huh?
I'm still here.
It's not all about you, Don.
I didn't think it was.
What's that on your head there, Don? Hmm? What you got going on? You look like Richard Simmons with no hair.
He can say that because he's known me so long.
Richard Simmons looks like shit now.
Richard Simmons gotten is a little old, you know. He's kind of, from what I understand, he's kind of a recluse. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's a big boy. He's a big boy. Okay. We won't judge for Richard. You know, he did a lot of lifetime. A lot of his lifetime, he was healthy and fit, and a lot of us probably couldn't do it. So let him have his fatness, fat days for a while, I guess. You know, enjoy life.
He's not on camera anymore.
That's right. Which is probably why he's not on camera. Probably one of the reasons he's not. You know.
Yeah.
Dying to Live was today the title of today's sermon. And if you look at the front, I like the picture I chose for the front. It's a what are those called? It's dandelion seeds. So you blow those in the wind. They put, what are those? Those are all seeds. All those little pieces are seeds. So this dandelion is basically dying. You're dying. There go those seeds for the new dandelions, right? Nature is a beautiful machine. And if you look at nature and the way it works, you'll see that your life works the same way, because we are part of nature. And if it's not working the same way, those gears aren't working the same way as nature's working, then you're either sitting stagnant, you know, that's what you don't want to be doing, because you're going against the grain, or you're going against it backwards. And that's really hard. You don't want to be doing that. So it's important to remember that, you know, being comfortable is not part of life. It's not.
You're not meant here. You're not here to be comfortable. You're here because change is always going to happen, and you've got to change constantly with the universe, with the world, with the people around you. And it's not fun because we like to sit back and relax in our favorite lounge chair and turn on the TV and watch whatever you watch, Married with Children. You know, something, whatever it is you watch, you know, Golden Girls, you know, whatever it is you're on, you're sitting there, you're sleeping, take a little nap and wake up. That's not what it's about, folks. That's not what we're here for. We're here to learn. We're here to experience new things. And once you realize that and start learning that you need to keep moving and keep changing, and it's not going to be comfortable because change is, sometimes the unknown is scary. But your reward for that is so much greater. Your life will change. Your life becomes so much more enriched. And you know, there's more word in your vocabulary loses the word boredom. It goes away because you're not going to be bored anymore. I just think it's amazing how we can tie all these things together. God created this wonderful universe, and then we can just look at how it puts it out there for us. I mean, this is, look, the universe is like this, so maybe you should be like this. You're part of this, right?
Mark, sorry, I was just thinking that, you know, if we need evidence, or we can look at all the things that have gone extinct, you know, like all the, they didn't
evidence
adapt.
Of what?
They didn't adapt, so they...
They did not adapt. Well, or they, not that they didn't adapt, or they were preyed upon. I mean, we are responsible for many, 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 many species going extinct from our actions, the actions we took against them, and not taking care of the Earth.
That's true. That's true.
Which is sad to me. I often wonder, you know, the evolution of creatures and species and whatnot is part of nature, right? But I wonder how, since we play into that, and everything plays into it, every animal plays into the creature, we all have prey, right?
Right.
But how we, being the ultimate, you know, hunter,
right,
how unnatural it is for us to have caused the destruction we've caused. And what it would be like if we hadn't done that.
Right. Well, a certain amount of it was inevitable.
Some of it is. I think, like, every time you have that, you're going to have species that kill other species, and they become, a food chain and whatnot. Right. But we way overdid it.
Right. Well, yeah.
But we still are overdoing it. I mean, look at, guys, the orangutans in Borneo, you know, look, there is one place on Earth where orangutans are found. Okay. Orangutans are one chromosome off in the DNA from us, okay? They are almost human, okay? They're going extinct. Why? Because they're tearing down the rainforest, this beautiful rainforest in Borneo, and they're planting palm trees, palm oil trees. Why do they plant palm oil trees? Because it's such a huge commodity right now, because it's in everything. One of the major things it's in is peanut butter, palm oil. Guys, they make peanut butter without palm oil.
They do,
and it's good. It's fine.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think a human civilization could have happened without taking out any species at all?
No, I mean, no. I think that's gonna happen. It's inevitable with anything. You're gonna have species that are gonna be weaker. They're gonna fall to the higher species. There's only so much this Earth can sustain as far as life goes. Yeah. And we push the limits on it. You know, we do.
Right.
When you see places like China that have to put restrictions on their births, you know, saying it's illegal for you to have more than so many kids. Well, you know, that's telling you something.
And it's like a domino effect. Like one species, the way that one species lives its life can have trickle down effects.
Well, it's the resources. Yeah. It's what you're talking about. The Earth has a limit. This is it. This is the resources the Earth has to offer.
Yeah.
Okay. If we go over that, if one overuses from that, then the other one doesn't. What's up? Yeah. Yes.
Because you said in this mind you have one coming out here.
What are you talking about, Gavin?
Maybe something like a witch lecture.
We'll talk about it afterwards, okay?
All right. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Don, you're being quiet today. What's up?
Nothing.
He's contemplative.
No.
You're contemplative.
What you working on over there?
User error.
Yeah. All right, guys, what else? What else is going on in the world? What's going on with y'all? Talk to me.
A little bit of everything.
Well, you know, if something's going on, y'all too comfortable then.
Who's too comfortable?
If ain't nothing going on, y'all too comfortable.
Mm-mm.
Well, I might be embarking on my first,
job?
Being, I've had many. I've been gameplay many
years ago.
But still. No, but like I've never been alone or by myself in terms of like, you know, I mean, I'm hanging out, like living by myself, or I might want to put this, like I've always had a writing buddy. I've always had that person glued to my side in this, or, you know.
Codependence is what we call that.
Yes,
Ken.
Yes. And so I might be trying to not do that anymore.
You know, so. One thing you ought to remember, though, is honestly, you need to remember that you're never alone.
I know.
Ever. Even when you think you're alone, you're not alone. God is always there with you. Period. And I don't care if you know it or not at the time. Trust me, he's there. He's there. And I know that because of some of the hardest times I've lived in my life, when what was going on, God wouldn't have, I mean, you wouldn't imagine God would be there for that. The things going on, he was. Yeah. And I know he was. So remember that. God's always with you. Yeah. You're never alone. And your friends are always a phone call away.
That's true.
Prayer is a wonderful thing because prayer is a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think you're bored or you think you're lonely or you think you're just, you know, whatever it is, you can pray, you can talk to God and have a conversation. He'll talk back if you listen. And then you're not going to be lonely anymore because the difference of lonely is no longer valid because you're not alone, right?
I mean, he does listen to you.
He does listen to you, but you have to listen to him. That's the problem. We all know how to talk and bitch and complain and ask for this and ask for that and beg and, okay, we want this and that. And the other, but we don't know how to shut up and listen and get those things.
Right.
That's what we don't know. How do you shut up and listen? Guys, when I was taught how to pray as a child, I was never taught that. I was never taught that you pray and then you listen to what God says back. I was like, you pray and ask for these things and you get up and walk away. Well, why? Why would God do that? You think he would create us? You think he would create us here and put us on this earth
right.
And then not be able to communicate with us? Come on now.
Right.
There's one of the churches, I think it's United Church of Christ, where they did a campaign for a long time called He's Still Speaking.
Right.
Well, he is still speaking.
Right.
I think it was a great promotional advertising thing they did there because it's the truth.
Well, he gave us that free will. So we
gave us free will.
Sometimes we're a little too willful. We don't want to listen to
most of the time. Most of the time we are.
Yeah.
Most of the time. The point is, you want to do the right thing. You want to make it right. You've got questions about life, about what you're doing, where you want to go, how you want to get there. Well, there's your answer.
Right.
You just go to the top. You know? Hey, God.
There you go.
If I like to think of it that way, a prayer is not necessarily just getting on your knees and praying, because I think that can be almost like a very solitude thing, very, you know, singular. I almost think when I pray, I almost imagine putting a phone up to my ear and talking into the microphone what I need to talk about, and then just listening.
It can help to channel the
right, you know. And that's one way. You know, I talk about meditation, help using meditation to help you achieve the prayer time where you can actually listen to God. That's important. If you're able to meditate and do those things and learn how to, it takes practice, folks. It's not easy to sit there and shut up and make your mind be quiet and open yourself up to God and to allow him to come in and speak to you.
I know I can't do it.
You can. No, you can do it. You can. Keep practicing. The day that it happened to me, that I actually heard God and felt God in me, felt him communicating with me. When that first happened, my life has never been the same since then.
Right.
It's such an epiphany at that point. It's such a huge epiphany that I can't, if you haven't had it, I can only describe it. What is it, Gavin?
Because I was going to go into the kitchen and grab my black mouth from the backpack. And
okay, can you just wait a few minutes till service? We're almost over with service here.
Okay.
All right. Just a couple more minutes. I don't know what everybody's in such a hurry to get out of here for today. Let's relax, okay? This is service. This is part of this is what's enjoyable, right?
Yeah, but the record speech basically ends up going like this and everything like that, and basically ends up causing anxiety, and we're kind of working on it.
Not causing anxiety. Who's causing anxiety? You're anxious. Why?
Yeah. Because it's supposed to be when it's wrong. Like, I don't want.
Because I'm emphatic, Gavin.
I know.
I think it's important that we hear these things. When I raise my voice and speak a little faster, it's a sign of being emphatic. But it's important than what I'm talking about.
And we're glad you're here.
We are glad you're here. So relax. You haven't been here a few weeks. Relax and enjoy it.
Month.
Please.
This is a safe space.
Please.
For you.
And I'm sorry if I talk too fast. I get excited because I am so into everything I'm talking about that, you know, one time a week's not enough for me to do it.
Right.
So when I can get you here and get all of your attention, I'm so happy that you're all here. This is almost a full house here. That's great. When I can get you here and get your attention like that, I want to get as much out of you as I can. So that's why it's like that. Please don't be anxious about it. There's no reason to do that. okay? You get excited. Maybe turn that anxiety into excitement instead of anxious, being anxious, okay?
Right.
That's what I feel. I'm excited when it's like this. Seriously. Okay.
You're right.
Anybody else have anything else?
I don't think so.
Guys, good service today. We had a couple of blunders. Happens. And we did well with some things happening, and we moved past it and got to plan B and got it done, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. We're as a team here. That's the way it happens. It's all of us being volunteers and all of us working to make this happen. I'm going to ask you again. I know we have a good showing today. Invite your friends. Invite people to church. We need more people. If we keep the church in these four walls here, we're not doing our job. Okay. If we keep what we're learning here in these four walls and don't talk about it, we're not doing our job. This is just part of it. 90% of what you're doing for church and your church activities should be out there.
Right.
Okay. Please invite somebody to church.
What happened to you getting a building or something?
Well, it's money. First of all, Dallas right now is good. Dallas is actually the highest. It's as far as growth goes in the United States. Dallas is number one in the United States. Thank you, Don. Dallas is number one in the United States for growth as far as cities go in metropolitan areas in the world, in the country, in the United States right now. We have some of the highest rent and lease prices in the country. They're actually calling, I don't know if you remember back in the day when California was always so expensive. You live in California, you have almost so much money. It's like triple what it costs to live here, right?
Right.
They're now calling Dallas the new California. Yeah. So it's what's happening here. The growth here, I mean, we're talking about, they're adding 6,000 jobs a day here.
Wow.
In Dallas, a day.
Yeah,
that's how it's growing. And so there's no. It's just very difficult.
On my phone constantly.
It's very difficult.
Jobs.
There's jobs. They're begging people to work. If you want to work, Dallas is the place to do it right now. But that being said, it's now supply and demand. So now there's a lot of people here using the spaces here, taking up all the other place. There's nothing that we can afford really right now, as far as the building goes. Mm-hmm. Believe me. I want to get in a building. Yeah, I would love for somebody to donate. Just donate time for us on Sunday to have a building. I mean, I would love for us to have a building because then we could actually promote ourselves a little better and not just be a home church. I'm so grateful that we are a home church. I'm grateful we had this for the last almost 8 years now. But it is time for us to move into a new church, which just it's about money and about ability and things like that. We've got to find a way to get that happen, make that happen.
And pray on it.
Pray. Please pray for it. Yeah. I pray for it every day. Believe me. I would love to get church out of my this church services out of my home. Because believe it or not, I love the church. I love having it here. It's very, very convenient for me. I can get up and come back to church and everything. But I do need my separation as well in my life as well. And it's hard to do that when I've got my altar right here in my living room. It's difficult. That's my issue. But it's I loved having it here. It's been very nice. But it's time to find its own place. The church is not a building, though. Please remember that. The church is us.
Mm-hmm.
The church is you. You are the church. The people of the church is what make up the church. The building is just a building. It's just four walls. You don't have anybody in there. It's nothing. It's not a church. It's nothing. It's just a building. So remember that no matter what, wherever we are as a family, as a church family, as a congregation, we are the church. So I don't care if we're here or sitting on the top of Flagpole Hill or lying on the beach in Galveston. We are still Dallas Universal Life Church, wherever we go. Okay, that's important to remember.
Definitely.
No matter what, we are still a church. They can't take that away from us, right? Okay, let's go ahead and pray our way out of here today, and we'll call it a day and enjoy the rest of this beautiful weather outside. And
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Don't forget Wednesday. We have Your Path Live with Bishop Mark. So let's come and watch the broadcast of that. You can do that here in the sanctuary. Be here by 4:30 or 5 at the latest. We will go on and land on the air at 5:30. So you need to be here by 4:30 or 5. Okay. All right. Just pray our way out of here. And if you guys don't start listening to me about not eating and drinking in service,
that
we're going to have a problem, Don.
What?
I know I've already gotten on him.
You ain't getting on me. I ain't trusted it.
He's still there.
I was waiting till it was over.
Father in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together today and worship you as you we so rightfully should. So many people in this world today cannot do what we just did and praise your name without being persecuted. Lord, thank you for all of us being here today. It's been a wonderful honor to be here with all of our congregants and this wonderful crowd here. And we thank you for the time that they've given to us and the time you've allowed them to come and be together as a family.
Lord, watch over us this next week as we begin to prepare for the final part of our Lenten season going into Holy Week. Help us to be ready for Holy Week and for our Easter to come and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help our souls to be pure and ready, and for our minds to be clear, and for our objectives to be sure. Lord, we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you very, very much. And I'll see you all Wednesday or Sunday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.